John chapter 11, verses 1 through 46. And yes, this is as long as it sounds. John 11, 1 through 46. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sister sent word to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." But when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. You want to go there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anybody walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." And after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep." The disciples then said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, so that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. And Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and calling for you." When she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying?" So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believed, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. And then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to Mary and saw what he did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. Please bless this, the hearing and the reading of God's word. As I told the children earlier, we are going to discuss something now that people don't like to talk about, and that's death. Good, bad, or indifferent, each one of us is going to lose our body. We will not live forever in this shell that we have now. But let's be honest. We don't like talking about death because, let's be honest, it scares us to death. It's my joke for the day. And I understand that death seems incredibly terminal. It seems so final. And for some people, it seems to be the end of everything that goes on. When we lose somebody, there's an emptiness within us. But what is there to fear from death? And I'm going to address it to those in our congregation who have accepted Jesus. Why in the world are we so afraid of death? In the last year, I have heard so many times, I want Jesus to come down. I want all this to be over with. I'm tired of what's going wrong without us. A lot of it could be of what's going around. We hear about death every day. The fearmongers in our government and in our media press us, you don't get this shot, you're going to die. You go breathe on somebody, you're going to die. If you don't do exactly as I say, you're going to die. Die, 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 die. I don't give a care. See, and that's what this is about today. That's everything that the story of Lazarus was about. But we also have to remember, folks, every Sunday, in the 4 years that I've either been a member here or in the time I've been preaching, you hear the same thing. In Jesus, we have eternal life. Let's get over what the clowns out there are saying and come to realize, accept, and stand behind. We are Jesus' children. We will not die. We'll get rid of this. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's a bad thing because, like I said, Wednesday, I'll tell you, there wasn't a joint in my body that didn't hurt. I knew I'd get over it, and I wasn't too worried about it. But it happens. So what goes on here? Like I said, this was a really long read, and to be honest with you, the lectionary called for me to start with verse 21. But I read it a couple of times, and it kind of left out a whole bunch of stuff. And it seemed to be cherry-picking what the person that set that up wanted us to hear, and it was a good message. I love 24:25. We're going to talk about that part. I am the resurrection. Absolutely wonderful. The story itself is pretty cut and dried. Now, our young people have gotten the classes on this. Hopefully, some of our older folk have too. Hopefully, you've had Lazarus preach to you and all the miracles and everything else. And Lazarus, the story of Lazarus, is preached as a testament to the power and glory of God through Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. We get to see Jesus as omnipotent, all-seeing. We get to see his divine nature. The Son of God knows exactly what's going on from the time the word is given to him that Lazarus is sick. They'd really like him to come now. But there's a second side to Jesus, and that is Jesus the man. That is as big a part of everything going on here, and that's why it's stressed. You see, we get to see Jesus' sorrow and grief. He expresses the loss of somebody that is very, very deep to him. And how often do we think of Jesus having that type of a relationship? I know we preach love and everything else, but do we think about those times on a night where Jesus sits around with Mary or Martha or Lazarus or the disciples and they just sit and talk? What happened in the day? Wasn't it beautiful? Did you see the flowers along the way? I don't think we get to see Jesus that way. But here is the human side of Jesus. The one that connects him so much to us. And there is a cast of characters. It begins with an explanation of who Lazarus and Mary and Martha are. They lived in Bethany. And according to John, it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. We have the disciples playing a part in this. Lazarus is sick, possibly dying. The sisters send to Jesus a request to come home, and they say, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." The calling of Lazarus as he whom you love is going to cause a lot of theological problems for years. Because you see, that particular, the disciple whom Jesus loved at the end of John, we hear about. In John 19, 25 to 7, when Jesus was on the cross, we're told, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household." Now take a look at what happened there, because Jewish tradition, Jesus, who was the head of the family at that time, Jesus dies, the next oldest son is responsible for taking care of mom. A little gift we should really learn in our society today. But notice he also did not use a name. And there's a possibility that he passed over one of the brothers as head of household, as it should have been done before Jewish law. And secondly, no matter who it was, it's a great sign of love that Jesus would turn this responsibility, because Jesus really loved his mother. Can never be a doubt by that. Now, I'm not taking any sides in this. I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning reading about this, but that's okay. But even if Jesus loved Lazarus so much, his response in verse 4 is kind of puzzling. "This sickness is not going to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." And it's followed by the statement in verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Now if you get the response from verse 4 and it's taken back to Mary and Martha, hey, Jesus says, hey, this is not going to end in death, except he's already dead. Now, be honest. We hear about somebody in our family Being terminal, the first thing we do is make arrangements to go be with them. It's our natural human reaction to that. There is going to be an emptiness in life. We are going to miss them. We are going to lose them. And we want to spend that extra bit of time that maybe we should have spent earlier. And yet Jesus spends two more days where he is. At the end of the 2 days, he goes, "Hey, let's go to Bethany." Disciples are a little bit nervous. Lord, last time we were there, they wanted to stone you. Are you really sure that's a great idea? What follows then is the 12 hours a day and 12 hours of night. Now, it's an illusion. The Apostle John, good is light. Jesus is light. Day is good. Darkness hides sin. Darkness is sin. And that's what those other verses essentially mean. We got 12 hours all day long. Walk in the light. We'll do that. But Jesus tells them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But I go so that I may waken him out of this. I'm sorry, that I may awaken him out of sleep. And notice here, Jesus uses the term sleep. And the disciples go, oh, if he's sleeping and he's just sleeping, that's really cool. He's going to get better. Sleep is a good thing. What the first thing you want to do when you get sick is go cut some Z's. It's refreshing. It's natural. Allows the body to rejuvenate. And that's exactly the way the disciples are thinking about this. So Jesus gets blunt. Lazarus is dead, and I am going, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. And the significance of that is the first hint. Death is no bar to our Lord and Savior. You have fallen asleep. That's all there is to it. He came to conquer death. He had done so. And as the followers of Jesus, we should understand that death is just like sleep. Death lost its hold over us, and it's no longer final as it is to unbelievers. And so off we go to Bethany. Now, Bethany is only 2 miles from Jerusalem. Lazarus was a popular man. He was a good man. He was well known. There were many people that have come from Jerusalem to come out and mourn with Mary and with Martha. And they were there. Martha finds out Jesus is coming, so she kind of scoots out, and everybody's still with Mary. The first thing she says when she sees him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And this is a beautiful statement of faith. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. I know you love him. She acknowledges who Jesus is. She knows he could have healed him. She's seen, she knows of, as everybody else in the area does, all the miracles Jesus has done. And on the other side, it's kind of a rebuke going, you know, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. If you had come when I first asked you. And she also points out in that part that I know that if you had asked God, he would have given you a gift. If you had asked God while he was still alive, he would have saved him. You would have brought him back from the point of death. Now, I just got finished saying this is a wonderful sign of faith from Martha, but I'm also going to say at the same time, she's overlooking who Christ is. In verse 23, Jesus tells her, "Your brother will rise again." And I can see Jesus standing there very matter of fact, just like saying, hey, the sun is warm today. He says, your brother's going to rise again. And Martha's response, according to her faith in the religion, is exactly right. She acknowledges that she knows Lazarus is going to rise again in the resurrection of the last day, and she thinks this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. And again, I think she was still back on the fact that I know God will do you what you ask him to do, hint, hint, pray, pray. Will you do that for me? Martha understands that God's fulfillment of his covenant with Abraham is going to be fulfilled when heaven is reestablished on earth. And her answer to that, I know he will rise again in the resurrection day, shows that understanding. And her understanding of the resurrection shows her knowledge of the Old Testament prophets, Daniel and Isaiah. Because it's here as we told in Daniel 12:2, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake to the everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Isaiah 26:19, your dead will live, their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy, for your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to its departed spirits. And then finally, as I read earlier in Isaiah 25:8, he will swallow up all death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. He will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. God has promised, if you believe in him, if you are faithful in him, you will not die. Your body may, but you know what? When the second coming comes, you're number one. And so here we come to the crucial part of the text. Verses 25 through 27. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe I am the Lord and Savior? Do you believe everything I'm telling you? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Christ is making a full declaration of who he is in accordance with what she knows about the prophets. And she acknowledged it. He tells her exactly what is happening, not death, but our own lives resurrected and life everlasting. See, brothers and sisters, that's the big part. That if we could give and live with that firmly ensconced, we could do away with so much stress in our lives. I don't care what happens to me on this earth. That sounds rather crass, especially when, you know, mom died of Alzheimer's and complications thereof. My dad's heart stopped beating. People are killed in each and every day. But I know that in here, in my heart, there is Jesus Christ. I know that no matter what happens, if I drop dead from a heart attack right now, or I die of old age, and I am faithful to the Lord, his promise to me is I am saved. I have eternal life. When he comes back, I get to pop up like a little poppy. I finally get to be happy and joyful. No pain, no headaches, no bad eyes, no lack of hearing. Because Jesus sacrificed himself with us. But the story continues. When Mary finds out Jesus is there, she hauls out and she says to him, she dropped down on his feet, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And that's about as curate, you know, that's a statement of truth. It doesn't go with the whole story, and she's kind of chiding him at the same time. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her also weeping, he was troubled, moved in spirit. I'm sorry, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. He managed to get out the question, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. He wept for several reasons. Yes, he knows he's going to be with Lazarus again, but he feels the same loss you and I feel when there is a loved one. And it affects him, and it goes deep into his own heart. He looks at the sorrow of the people around him, and he cries. And it's such a beautiful thing. Jesus wept because of his deepest love for Lazarus and Martha and Mary and what they were going through. But I'll tell you what, something that we sometimes look beyond here because of the kind of happy ending with Jesus, with Lazarus coming back. This is the act that seals Jesus's death. His actions of love are going to cost him pain, sorrow, and earthly life because of the act he's to do, both in love and as God is going to have him do it. He knows this right now, and just like in the garden, he knows what it's going to cost him. He may not be happy about it, but he's going to go ahead and fulfill God's will. And he looks around at the people after being reminded, yeah, he's been dead for 4 days. He's going to kind of stink. And it's almost as though, are you sure? He knows what's going to happen. Did I not say that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? They took away the stone. Jesus goes immediately to the Father. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. This is the final stick in the eye of the Pharisees and all the believers. They are going to see once and for all that I am the Son of God. It's the final declaration. Lazarus comes forth, and here comes Lazarus. And they take away all the wrappings, and he's whole. And he's with the people that love them. He's with the Lord and Savior. And a lot of people there saw, and they believed, and they were amazed at what happened. And some of the little scum suckers ran right to the Pharisees, who said, we can't be having this. Jesus will die. God made us out of love. From the day of creation through today, through the end of time. He's given us the opportunity, as he gives every person in this world, the opportunity to see him in his glory, to learn the love that he has for us. He sacrificed his son horribly once and for all so we would not have sin, so death would have no hold on us. That we were free from Satan not only for life here, but forever. But everything that happened in John 11 and everything that has happened, that happens now to the end of John, comes because of love. Love those around you, brothers and sisters, the believers and the unbelievers, your family. Don't let stupid things like politics, differences of opinion, drive a wedge between the family. Maybe one of those times that we just have to shut our mouths when we're around other people. Continue to love as Jesus loved us, as he loved this family. Because it's a real love. It's the only true love that's out there. Without Jesus, there's no such thing as love. And may we continually to be blessed each and every day by our faith in him, our love in him, and our belief that everything that he has said applies to each and every one of us. Amen.